Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Our Inspired to Change series. And so I want to pay really close attention as we start today, because once again, the change I want to inspire is for us all wanting more of God in our lives. How many know that you can be addicted to Jesus is all right? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So the Inspired to Change is all about being inspired by a hunger for God and more of Him, and what that can look like in our lives on a daily and an ongoing basis. And today, what I want to share about is the important part that, hope you're listening, the important part that congregation's hunger for God plays in God's moving in our midst and performing His will. Amen. The part that a congregation's hunger plays. Hallelujah. Their hunger for God plays a tremendous part in the way that God can work and move, performing His will in our midst. So today's message, many of you take notes, which I encourage you to do, and you need a title, so I've got one for you. Inspired by Congregational Change. Amen. A congregation's hunger and desire for God's will and ways produce what is known as the corporate anointing, where God's anointing, or you could say it like this, where God's anointing, His presence and power is manifested in their midst in a variety of ways, including to save, to heal, to deliver, to fill, to bring freedom to, and change the lives of His people. For that is the reason that God shows up. God wants us changed by His power. He wants us helped. He wants us to know Him. Amen. And so notice I said, the corporate anointing, where God's anointing, His presence and His power is actually manifested. So let's talk about one moment a word that many times you may have heard and maybe not understand, and maybe you haven't. Maybe you're newer to this church, or you're online and you're listening to this. I want to talk about something that's important and brings out very clearly in the Word of God, and that's understanding the anointing for one moment. And what does the word anointing mean? So we're going to take a few moments and look at this. We won't exhaust the subject, but I think it's very important, because in talking about a corporate anointing and God's power and His presence being manifested in our life, we need to know what the anointing is. And so the word anoint literally means to smear or to rub with oil. Possibly one of the clearest physical examples of this is found in the Word of God in many places. However, in the New Testament, in James chapter 5, verse 14, where it says, is any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church and let them anoint them with oil. Amen. And so the word anoint there is that example, that physical example of this word, where it literally means to smear, to rub with oil, the anointing with oil, which is a New Testament doctrine that can produce healing in people's body. Amen. So the word anointing also means to consecrate. Amen. To consecrate. Amen. One synonym for the anointing, and the word synonym, since many of us haven't gone to school for a while, amen, synonym, it is a word that means the same thing as another word. Amen. It's synonymous. So there's a word. What is that? It's a meaning of another word that means the same thing. So one synonym for the anointing is the Holy Spirit. I said one synonym for the word anointing is the Holy Spirit. So this is very important that you understand this. So the anointing is not an it, and the anointing is not a thing. The anointing is the person of the Holy Spirit. This is probably no better illustrated than in the words of Jesus himself in Luke chapter 4 and verses 18 and 19, where he is quoting Isaiah 61, beginning with verse 1. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he, God, hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Notice here, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has what? He has anointed me." Amen. And so the coming upon us of the presence of the Holy Spirit is called the anointing. Whether Old or New Testament, it is the anointing. Another synonym for the anointing is the word power or virtue, as we find it translated in the New Testament from the Greek word dunamis. The word dunamis is the word power or virtue. It means God's miraculous dynamite power. So where we get the dunamis is where we get our word dynamite from. It God's explosiveness, almightiness. Amen. And it refers to the, in this case, and many times in the ministry of Jesus, the manifestation of the healing power of God through the Holy Spirit. We find this as an example in Acts 10:38. Write that down. We'll put it up. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. Notice Holy Ghost anointing. Notice that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with healing power. Hey, he went about doing good and healing all that was oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Amen. And so we see this. So the Holy Spirit or power and virtue are all synonyms for the anointing. Amen. So we've defined, at least in part, what the anointing is. Give us a better understanding of the anointing. Now let's talk about the purpose of the anointing. If we looked at the examples of it that we already given, we've already seen it is for power. It is already for healing. It is already to bring to pass the will of God in people's life. But let's look at it from a perspective that causes us to understand that the anointing is the presence and work of the Holy Spirit to actually remove burdens and destroy yokes. Isaiah 10:27 says it like this, "And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing." Yeah. Amen. So it's a, you could say it like this: the anointing is the burden removing, yoke destroying power of God. It's where you and I can come into a service and experience God in ways with which the things that mess with us, God messes with and destroys, gets off of us and frees us so that we can receive and walk in what God willed for us through his plan of redemption and execute it through Jesus Christ and now manifest it by the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Can I get amen? And so Let's, now that we have defined the anointing, at least in part, and now that we've talked about the purpose of the anointing, at least in part, let's talk about three ways that the anointing of God comes, because it's very important. Because why is this very important? Because we're talking about how a congregation's hunger and desire for God's will and His ways produces what is known as the corporate anointing, where God's anointing, His presence, His power is manifested in peoples in our midst to perform His will and to do in us individually and corporately what His will and desire is. So are you ready to know three ways that the anointing of God comes? Number one, through God's Word. Number one, the anointing of God comes through God's Word. God's Word is anointed. It's anointed. Amen. It is God talking to us. Amen. And when you take a promise of God and believe it, the anointing of God, the Holy Spirit, begins to move and will perform it in your life. Amen. This is why Jeremiah 1:12 says it like this. It says, "And then said the Lord to me, you have seen well, for I'm alert and active, watching over my word to perform it." Amen. So in other words, what God gives by His grace, every grace gift that God gives, whether it's salvation, healing, every good and perfect gift that comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning, as James 1:17 and 18 tells us, that the will of God is revealed in the Word of God, God's Word, which is His will, is anointed. And what that means, that what God gives us by His grace, His undeserved favor, we can't earn it, we don't even deserve it. It's His unconditional love and His unmerited favor towards us. What He has given towards us by His goodness to us must be received by faith. And when our faith lays hold to what His grace has given, the anointing, the power of the Holy Spirit is there to perform it in our lives. That's what the anointing does. God performs the part of His Word we believe Him for. Amen. I'm just going to turn here because this comes to me, but it's good for us to know. Job 23:14 says, "For God performs what He has planned for me, and many such things are with Him." In other words, God performs His will in our lives. He performs the part of His Word we believe Him for, because His Word is anointed. And when we believe Him, the Holy Spirit is there to manifest and perform that Word. So God's way of His anointing comes through, number one, through His Word. Number two, the second way the anointing of God comes is where two or three are gathered together in His name. In Matthew 18:20, here's what it says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I'm in the midst of them," Jesus said. So what we find is this very important truth, that when believers meet together, assemble for the Word and worship, the anointing of the Holy Spirit can manifest. Because when we lift up our voices and praise and adoration and worship, the Holy Ghost begins to move through the congregation. And God's intent is that for this very thing, that burdens be lifted and yokes destroyed. Hallelujah. The third way that the anointing of God comes is through the gifts and the manifestations of the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Everybody say, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because He is the anointing. Amen. And we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we find, among other things, nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me give you an example of this. Remember, the Holy Spirit, one way we just said that the anointing of God comes first is through the Word, second through where we assemble together in His name, two or three together or assemble together in His name. Now, number three, through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. When we assemble together, there's something called the corporate anointing. Amen. And God begins to move as He's desired and welcomed. Amen. And as He moves, one of the ways that He moves, not the only way, but one of the ways we listed two. Now, the third way is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Now, a great example of that would be how the Holy Spirit demonstrated through tongues and interpretation of tongues today, and that was equal biblical or basic prophecy that's revealed there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which was given the simple gift of prophecy through which tongues and interpretation came through, amen, is for edification, exhortation, and comfort. When the anointing of God shows up, God is there to edify, to encourage, and to build up through these gifts, at least through these three vocal gifts. And the manifestation of that, the anointing does that in the service to take it up higher so that the saint is encouraged and strengthened, is edified and built up as we were a moment ago in our midst. Another case in point of this is, say, for instance, one of the nine gifts of the Spirit is of the power gifts. One of those power gifts is the gifts of healing. When the gifts of healings are in manifestation, then when the power of God for healing is moving, praise God, and present to heal, then we simply can just reach out with our faith and receive the healing power of God. And God performs healings and miracles in our lives that we have need of. These are the types and the ways that God in part moves through the anointing of God. So in saying this, hopefully this helps us to not only understand what the anointing is, but who it is, the Holy Spirit, and His vital importance in our lives, but also in our church. We know how important the Spirit of God as believers is vital to our individual lives, but do we really stop to think of how vital He is when we assemble together? How vital it is that He is welcome, He is honored, He is received, amen, that He is expected, and that His power will be manifested to remove burdens and to destroy yokes. Do we come expecting God to do things in our midst that only He can do? Well, when we understand what we're talking about today, then we will on a whole different level, and that is the purpose of inspired by congregational change. Listen, we must not just change as individuals. We must change as a congregation. Amen. And when we look at scriptures like 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, look here where the Apostle Paul asked this vital question. Do you not discern, we'll read from the Amplified Translation, do you not discern and understand that you, the whole church at Corinth, now that would mean the whole church at Cobbs Creek here, or wherever you're at, amen, the whole church, not just an individual, do you not discern and understand? So in other words, what he's saying is, wake up church, 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 not just individual, church, 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 wake up! Do you not see something? This just means that it's a possibility that you could come and go and not ever see it. So he's saying, do you not discern and understand that the whole church at Corinth, or God's temple, His sanctuary, and that God's Spirit has His permanent dwelling in you. Now notice, to be at home in you collectively and as a church and also individually. Notice His permanent dwelling in you, to be at home in you collectively. Everybody say collectively. That means corporately or congregationally, as also individually. So it's really important that we understand that God is emphasizing His Spirit is not only living in us as believers. Yes, we're born of the Holy Spirit. That anointing abides in us according to 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 and 27. Amen. You can write that down. But also we see here that Paul is emphasizing the significance and the importance of every individual who has the anointing and the presence and the power of God working in them for a number of important reasons. But he also is working collectively to be at home. When we assemble together collectively, or we could say corporately, or we could better say congregationally. Amen. As a church, God works and moves that way. So let's briefly talk about why a congregation's hunger and desire for God, not just individual, but a congregation's hunger and desire for God is so vitally important for God to move and do what He wants in their midst. We must understand in here today, church, that the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He goes and manifests where He is honored, wanted, desired, respected, sought after, believed for, and understood, had to cooperate with Him. Now let me say it maybe a different way. The Spirit of God is everywhere. Because in Psalms 139, David said, if I descend into hell, the Spirit of God is there. If I ascend unto heaven, the Spirit of God is there. The Spirit of God, one of the attributes of God is he's omnipresent. That means His presence, but His power is everywhere all the time. The good news is, if we understand this, if we ever learn to cooperate with God, we understand this vital truth, that it doesn't make any difference what happens to us, wherever it happens. The Spirit of God is there. He's just waiting for our faith in Him to activate His power so that He can deliver us and destroy burdens, remove burdens and destroy yokes. Hope you got that. Many times we're waiting for some feeling, and we may or may not have a feeling. Many times we're waiting for the moment of ecstasy and the so to speak, and where we feel the presence of God in a service, and we should, that because He shows up. This is one of the way He shows up, and this is why it's so important that we assemble. This is so important why we don't miss worship, because that is one way that the Spirit of God shows up. See, so many times people say, "Well, I'm going to come for the preaching of the word because I want to hear the word and get the anointing." And yeah, the anointing is on the word, but the anointing is also on the worship. We just shared that. And we may be changing ourselves, because yes, we can determine how God moves in our lives by what we'll believe Him for, but He may move in a supernatural way through worship, where He wanted to get your answer through worship and not just through the word being preached that morning. Hallelujah. Having to know, a lot of times it's a combination of both. God will give you a double barrel, praise the Lord. But glory to God, He'll pull down on you with both of them, praise the Lord. And having to know that's all right. I hope you're understanding what I'm saying here today. So the point is that God, although God's Spirit is everywhere, where He moves, is where our faith is putting a demand upon his power. And where he is, you could say, he's honored. He's wanted. He's desired. He's sought after. He's believed for and understood how to cooperate with him. That means we graduate from the part of, in our thinking. Now, this has happened probably to us all. We've invited somebody to our church, and we want them to come to the church. We invest and invite. Amen. We want them to be changed like me. But let's just be honest. There's people that have thought, you know, well, I just hope it's a Sunday that the Holy Ghost don't move. I hope that there's no tongues and interpretation of tongues, so I don't have to explain that. I hope there's nobody that runs. I hope there's not, you know, a prayer line where somebody falls out in the spirit when they're prayed for. And the list should go on, because all those things are in the Bible, in and for a New Testament church, and are connected back to the moving and the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, how many know, let's just be honest, if we've ever had those thoughts, and we probably have, praise the Lord, that God just didn't kick us to the curb, what probably happened is that very thing did happen. Amen. And so, let's just be honest, even the pastor, I'm thinking this happened in 2005, we moved in this church in 2006, 2005, Pastor Debbie and I have been pastoring this church for 3 years. I remember doing a series. I remember back then we had in the other facility, we had a Sunday morning service, but we also had a Saturday night service. Amen. Because at that time we were maxing out our Sunday morning service, and we had invited people to come on the Saturday night instead of a Sunday morning to make room for more people. But how many know the 90% of the people that came Saturday night just was because they were hungry. They came back on Sunday morning. How many know that's a good problem? Praise the Lord. That's a good problem. I remember, okay, now see, I'm telling the story on me, because we can all have to change our thinking, and we all can, no matter who we are, having to know that the Holy Ghost is really patient with us and helping us. That he even has to move the pastor beyond thinking wrong. Praise the Lord. And once again, this was back in 2005 before we moved in. On a Sunday morning, I was preaching, and there was a couple that worked in our church back then who was in the student ministries. They invited their parents to come to church that Sunday, and they were not the couple that invited them, members of our church here, were serving in our student ministries. They could not be in the service, amen, because they were serving. But they invited their parents to come, and their parents at the end of the service, amen, they were both retired at that time. They both at the end of the service, along with some others, gave their hearts to Jesus Christ for the very first time. They walked the aisle, gave their hearts, surrendered to Jesus Christ. Beautiful, beautiful. Man, you're talking about that couple was so excited that their parents came and gave their heart to the Lord. Well, to my surprise, amen, they were back the following Saturday night. Now, we had a Wednesday night service, didn't see them, but they were there on the following Saturday night. And this couple that just got saved, I was teaching a series back then entitled Normal Christian Behavior. What does normal Christian behavior look like? Amen. Well, one of the things of normal Christian behavior is that once you get saved, the next step is get filled with the Holy Ghost. Of course, water baptized, but now also get baptized or get filled with the Holy Spirit. and speak with other tongues as they did on the day of Pentecost. Receive that heavenly prayer language as the doorway of the supernatural and the anointing of God coming on us at a whole new level to be witnesses with God's power. How many know He wants us to have power in our lives to be His witnesses? Well, that was the part that I was talking about, normal Christian behavior that night. And I watched them as I began to teach. I try not to look at people. Amen. Just like today, I know people think that I just see everybody. But really, I'm endeavoring to follow here. I'm not just, you know, there's times when I come down, I look at eyes of people. I can see who's here, obviously. But I'm not just glaring at people. I'm just trying to follow what's down here. Amen. So I'm teaching about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I get to the end of the service, and I say, you know, as I'm going through the message and everything, I'm thinking in my mind, I wonder what this couple is thinking. I know they've never heard about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Chances are they never heard it. They just got saved. I might be drowning them with this. Well, honey, you ain't drowning nobody with more of God if they are hungry for God. So I was preaching, and of course that thought comes through my mind. I wonder how they're making out with this, because their son and daughter are not even there with them tonight, and they'll have some explaining to do. Even though I thought that the teaching explained it very well, to my utter amazement, at the end of the service, when I gave the altar call to be filled with the Holy Spirit, one hand went up, and unbeknownst to the other one, the other hand goes up. Amen. And both came and got filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so what we have, I gave that as a simple illustration, because no matter who we are, there's times that that we want to maybe put God in a box. God don't want to be in a box, and you can't keep Him in a box. What He's designed to do is that we welcome Him. We desire Him. That taught me a valuable lesson to always, always, regardless of people's faces. You know, Jeremiah had to face that. Jeremiah, is it, God told him, say, don't even look at their faces. Just give them the word that I told you to preach, and let the chips fall where they may. Amen. And whoever will believe can receive from God. And so the point that I'm making here today is, a lot of times people will say, you know, we want God to do this and we want God to do that. But the truth is, we want God to do what He said He'll do in His Word. But where He actually performs those things is when people understand how He wants to move, the way He moves, and then we go about in a way where which, when we come together, He is honored, He is wanted, He is desired, He is sought after, He is believed for, and understood how to cooperate with Him. Amen. So always remember this, that God works in our lives and in our congregation through knowledge. Amen. God works in our lives and in a congregation through knowledge. What knowledge? His knowledge. What we know and believe about Him. Now turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And we're going to talk about these two verses here. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. Amen. We see here that this implies that we could be. But the Bible tells us that God doesn't want us to be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. This word gifts there is, as I'm reading from the King James Version, is in italics. That means that it was added to by the translators with the intent, thinking that it would help us better understand the content that is being presented there. And in one sense it does, in one sense it doesn't. I don't have time now to explain all that, but here is what we do need to know. What this is saying now concerning spiritual gifts is true, because in the very next portion of this scripture, it lists nine gifts of the Spirit. And we say that these nine gifts of the Spirit is one of the three ways that the anointing manifests itself in a congregation's presence. Amen. And so one translation says it like this: now pertaining to spirituals, brethren, things pertaining to and of the Holy Spirit. This spiritual gifts are things pertaining to and of the Holy Spirit. He said, I will not have you ignorant. So God wants us to have knowledge of what the gifts of the Holy Spirit are. He wants us to know that He wants to move and manifest Himself that way. So in things like tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, which equal to the simple form of prophecy like this morning occurred, we're not, what is that? We understand. Amen. Now maybe everybody doesn't understand, but as general as a congregation, if you're part of this church, you understand. You also understand the other nine gifts of the Spirit. Three are power, working of miracles, special faith, and gifts of healing. Three are revelation gifts: word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. And then we've already talked about the utterance or the vocal gifts: prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. When we understand that, we're better prepared for the moving of them and us welcoming and desiring them so that God can move as His Spirit wills. Amen. Now, it says, now concerning things pertaining to and of the Holy Spirit, I will not have you ignorant. So, when we turn over, amen, which include the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because the manifestations of the Holy Spirit is how the anointing manifests itself among us many times. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, notice here, it says, follow after love, or charity, love, follow after charity, which is love, and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you prophesy. Now notice that middle of it where it's carved out, it says, and desire spiritual gifts. Desire spiritual gifts. So notice that if we understand that in 1 Corinthians, track with me, this is very important, congregation. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 told us that we don't need to be ignorant concerning things pertaining to and of the Holy Spirit, which would include spiritual gifts. Now he tells us to desire spiritual gifts. Okay? Now, both of these are exhortations written to the church at Corinth. In other words, they're both in a congregational context, knowing and desiring them. It is not written to the pastor to know them and desire them. Includes him. It's not written to individuals to know them and desire them. It includes them. In context, it's talking about the whole congregation. Knowing them and desiring them is the will of God. In context. Now, listen to what I'm getting ready to say. Many of you know Brother Kenneth E. Hagin. He went to be home with the Lord in 2003. He was one of Pastor Debbie's and I mentors. And Brother Hagin said this came to him by revelation. In other words, what I just said, this, you think we would know this, but because, know what? We would think we would automatically think that God is talking to the congregation here. He's talking about them as a congregation, not being ignorant concerning the spiritual gifts, and the congregation to desire spiritual gifts. But because we have been taught so well that God's word is God talking to us, that we need to take it personally, many times we can overlook that even though that God is talking to us personally there, He is really emphasizing the importance of the congregation both knowing, not being ignorant of, and desiring these very things, the congregation. Brother Hagin said this is how I know this, very clearly, because Brother Hagin said this came to him by revelation. As he sought God for an answer to why, many of you know he traveled. He pastored for 12 years and he traveled for over 60 years ministering in the body of Christ until he went to be home with the Lord in 2003. He said this came to him by revelation. What? That the whole congregation is to not be ignorant. The whole congregation is to desire. He says it came to him by revelation as he sought God, listen, for the answer to why in some places he ministered in, even though the pastor and the people were genuinely nice and supportive, he found there was no strong manifestation or anointing in the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Spirit to remove burdens and to destroy yokes. And he says it drove him to his knees. Why is that, God? He says there were sometimes he even sought God extra in prayer and in fasting because he thought it was something he was missing. But the answer came, it was the lack of the congregation's desire for the gifts, the move, and the working of the Holy Spirit. Many times, he said, he's been in a service where the Spirit of God had already showed him things to do and say at the end of the service. And at the end of the service, before he could minister those things, all of a sudden, there were people, they thought, well, he's dismissing now. He's going to close down. He's finished the preaching. And so people, more than one, just got up and moved and started moving around and just leaving. And he says that the anointing just left him like a bird flew off his shoulder. He said it just left him. There was no unction there to give it. I knew what the Spirit wanted to do, but the Spirit was grieved. Now listen, I'm your pastor. I'm not a traveling minister. I realize that some of you have to leave early because you got work, you have business. I understand that. Things happen. People have to get up at the end of the service and leave because they have appointments. They have to get to work. I understand all that. But what we must understand is that there's a difference between that and us just wanting to get to Kentucky Fried Chicken before our neighbor does. Or the Baptist church does. Or you know what I'm saying. Or I hope pastor don't preach long like he normally does because they're going to beat us to the buffet today. Amen. Praise the Lord. It is those things that drive us by carnality that hinders the Spirit of God. Okay. And so if we don't talk about it, then it's my job to talk about it. I'm not scolding anyone. I'm just telling you, I believe that you, like me, want the Spirit of God to move. And I'm not here to hear me speak. I'm here to yield to the Holy Ghost. And to follow him. Amen. And so what we need to make sure is that we're not a congregation that lacks the desire and lacks the knowledge of the gifts and the moving of the Holy Spirit. We make a way, we pray, we ask, we seek God, our reverence, our expectation. Here's something that we need to understand. We understand that a congregation desire for more of God, not just a few individuals, but a congregation's desire for more of God and its anticipation, expectation for God, gives God an invitation to move in its midst in much greater dimensions and ways that God desires to. Today, this is the change I'm designed to create in our midst, because hopefully now we can better see the connection between a congregation's desire for God and Him moving in its midst. It doesn't need to just be the pastor who's hungry. It doesn't just need to be his wife and the staff and a few other spiritual leaders in the church. It needs to be the whole congregation moved into this area. because where God is greater welcomed and desired, His presence and His anointing, His power shows up in a greater measure. Can I get an amen? Hope we can see this. So in closing today, I want to share, what does that mean? Nothing. Praise the Lord. No, it does. I have one other thought that I want to communicate with you that's very important. Because although I'm talking about us corporately today as a church and the vital importance of inspiring corporate change, amen, how we come, not just we come. Listen, I'm thrilled when everybody comes. But it's not just that we came, it's how we came. It's how we come. And listen, I know we have things going on. We got things that and there's exceptions to every rule. There's things that people, listen. People have had I'm glad that people come. People have had surgeries and different stuff. There's reasons why they need to sit in the back. Or close to the back. They may have a reason they need to get to the bathroom before anybody else. So let's not just assume when people move they're being disrespectful or anything like that. Amen. And I most definitely am not. I'm just saying that I'm trying to teach us what honors God. And I believe that this congregation really loves and wants to honor God, wants to honor and seek His will and His way. They want Him to move. Amen? Listen, I was reminded just the other day of a person that said, you know what, it was a fine usher that we had. In fact, he said, I find it amazing, Pastor Chris. See, it's not just that we came, it's how we come. He said, I find it amazing, Pastor Chris. I've seen people come in to the left, even though I would not encourage this, but I always say, thank God that you showed up. Remember, I already said, come for worship, come for the whole thing. But I realized there's times, I talked to somebody the other day, I'll get to this other story, I talked to somebody the other day, they said, I worked all night, and I didn't miss anything, I didn't get there until the time that the word was being, but I watched you while I was taking, I would listen to worship while I was taking a shower, getting cleaned up to come to church. That's dedication. Thank God for it, thank God for online, and then still showed up. So there's exceptions to all the rule. I'm just saying the importance of not just coming, but how we come. I remember that one of our fine ushers giving this example. Pastor Chris, I've seen more than one person come in the last 15 minutes of a service. Never been here before. Last 15 minutes of the service. Listen, Rob, get ready to say. Last 15 minutes of the service, come in. Sometimes they didn't use these words. I'll say it. They kind of look like a madman. In other words, something, I mean, not necessarily angry, but they've been in a whirlwind. In other words, life has dealt them a blow. They come in and they sit down and they'll be the very ones that respond to the altar call. Seen it more than once. So the reason I'm saying that is, you know why that can happen? Because there was a corporate anointing. That when that person came in, they sensed the power and the presence of God that was there to remove burdens and destroy yokes. You might not even been aware of it, but they were, because you can get so familiar with it. But it's nonetheless that important. Hallelujah. Now, in closing, I want to share this other side of this, which is congregational change that we're talking about. Congregational change happens because of individual change. Congregational change happens because of individual change. It begins at an individual level. It begins with the leader, but not just a leader. It needs to spread through. See, we got to understand, congregational change happens because of individual change. It always begins at an individual level, because individuals, after all, make up the congregation. Amen. Individuals, hear that? Who am I talking about? Individuals who want what God wants for their lives and follow God's plan and will. Wanting God's will and not just their own, like we sang about today, casting our crown before Him. And by following God's plan, as revealed in the Scriptures, for their life are changed supernaturally themselves. They're the people that when they hear the Word of God and they begin to believe it, they are saved because they find out in a place like this what God's offered them. They're saved, they're filled, amen, and begin to obey the Great Commission. They are supernaturally changed themselves, and it must begin individually. And then they too become by allowing God to change them and by obeying God. Then they too become change agents for God. And it's these change agents that inspire and reach others for God. I'm looking at a whole group of them in here today. I ain't preaching this because we ain't doing it. I'm preaching it to take us to a whole new level. It is these individuals like you who inspire others to come to Christ and to want more of God themselves. The result happens by this is congregational change. The wanting of more of God in the many lives. See, it begins with a few, but it doesn't stop with the few. If God can have His way, it goes to the many. Amen. And when the many spires is inspired, it continues to fuel the desire of the more of the congregation. And when a congregation spire is inspired, a revival of the Bible and a hunger for the Word of God and its application occurs, bringing the change the Holy Spirit desires corporately, allowing Him to move mightily. We have a great example of this in Acts chapter 19, where Paul had a handful of disciples who got filled with the Holy Ghost in Ephesus, and they were set aside as disciples. And for 2 years, he taught in such a way that that whole region was ultimately reached from a few that were set aside by God, taught and trained, and it spread as they saw the signs, wonders, and miracles that God wrought through the Apostle Paul there in Ephesus in Acts chapter 19. So much so that the individuals inspired, now there's a city that was given over to idolatry, has a great pushback. A great pushback in the Spirit, and now they rise up as saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's not just a few, it's the many. And it's the many in such a way that now this whole city that was given unto idolatry, they assemble together and they burn their witchcraft items and all those things. They turned it through their books and their witchcraft, renounced the things of darkness to commit their lives to Jesus Christ. In Acts 19:21, here's what it says. When it went from individuals to a congregational anointing, it says, after these things were... I must have gave the wrong verse. It actually... Let me turn down myself. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I gave them the wrong verse. Amen. Praise God. Verse 20. And so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. It started with the individual, but it didn't end with the individual. It grew to a handful. It grew to many. It grew to a congregation. And now that congregation, which was one, a few, to many, to a congregation, full circle, comes back and changes and those that are in this earth. And so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Listen, The end and goal of revival is not more revival, but strong local churches that know how to flow in the Word and the Spirit and win and disciple people to Christ. I'm going to say it again. Write it down. We all want revival, but you know, revival is not for the world. The revival is for the church. This is probably the best revival message you've heard in a long time. Didn't even know it. Praise the Lord. The end goal of revival is not more revival. That's what the church thinks. Oh, we want more revival. The end goal of revival is not more revival, but strong local churches that know how to flow in the Word of the Spirit and win the disciple people to Christ. And then this, amen. When this happens, then all this comes full circle, where the corporate or the congregational anointing consistently inspires individual change and them wanting more of God in their lives as well. Where that anointing is, individuals cannot help but come in and notice there's something different about this church. There's something different about the people here. It's something different about what's happening. See, I know this because in 1986, when I gave my heart to Jesus Christ, this was a little storefront with a handful of people. And I can tell you, the moment I walked in there, it was different than the congregational denominational church I grew up in. And I sensed the anointing and the power of God. Those people had something I didn't have, and I wanted it. I didn't know how to define it, but I knew it was of the Holy Ghost. And when this happens, amen, I'm going to say it all. When this comes full circle, where the congregational anointing consistently inspires individual change, then and them wanting more of God in their lives as well, when this happens, then when there's such a corporate anointing, then when the sinner or even nominal Christians come in and experience the presence and the anointing of God in this greater measure, they too are inspired to change, to know and to be touched God for themselves and go deeper and higher with God to be a part of it. The truth is, many individuals are inspired to change this very way. What do you mean this very way? Because of the power and presence of the anointing upon a congregation they attend. Let's be one of them. Let's be one of them. When a sinner comes in who God loves, who we love too. When a nominal Christian comes in that's seeking more of God, when they come in, because we understand and have welcomed the Holy Spirit, they sense something that's different. They sense the presence and the power of God. They might be able to say, oh, that's the Holy Ghost. I didn't know what it was. I just knew I wanted it. I knew it had to be of God. See, you hear all the lies about God and about full gospel churches and everything. Or you know, you hear all kind of lies. You say, you know, tongues of the devil, all this kind of stuff. You know, you can hear all this kind of stuff. But I found out this, that I never saw that in any of my devil friends. And you won't in yours either. It's only when you get around a place that knows the power and the presence of God, where God can change and help lives. You see, what you have to understand is it goes, even though we're talking about congregational change, you may not like what God does, but God likes it. And He appreciates us as a church saying, whatever God loves, we love. Amen. And see, what we have to understand is, yes, before we ever get to that congregational change, it begins with individuals, just like you and I, who are hungry for God, who are driven. Maybe driven is not the right word. The devil drives, but God actually leads and guides us to our knees, where we realize, because there's other individuals around us that have got that fire, and they say something, or they do something, or they show us something from the Word of God where, oh my God, I can be saved, I can be changed, I can be filled with the Holy Spirit, I can be healed. We find out something about the Word of God and what God has said, and it's no longer about what man has said. It destroys our wrong thinking, and how the devil has bound us and made us think that God is dead, He's not alive, He doesn't exist. I'm just going to go to that church to pacify this person who's asked me to come. I'm tired of them asking me. I'm just going to go. But when they show up, the corporate anointing, God's presence and power is manifested. They may not be able to define it all, but through the teaching and the preaching of God's word, which is anointed, they see they have a hope and a future. And God takes the one and He turns it into the few. Few other on fire. He turns it into the many. Many more on fire. And then the next thing you know, it's spread through the congregation. And that anointing can do more through a congregation prepared than any one individual. Father, we thank You today for Your goodness and kindness to us. We love You. May Your fire and desire burn in us, oh God, in this congregation, as we're talking about inspired by congregational change. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want those today that would say, Pastor, you may be on fire. Thank God for you. But Pastor, I concur. I'm going to ask you. You say, I want to be part of this solution. I'm inspired to be the change. And part of that change is that I come welcoming, prepared and welcoming the work, the move, the Holy Spirit, so that God can do way more together than we could ever do individually. And then I'll leave butter too, because I've brought a supply. But in bringing my supply, I always will leave with a supply, and I'll go out there with the anointing of God and change others as well. And what I'm asking today, I'm going to pray a general prayer for those that would say, I want to be a part of this congregational change. I want, oh God, to better understand this and be part of the solution. If that's you, I want to pray for you today. I realize it would be better to lay my hands on you, but those that want that, I want you to just stand to your feet. I want you to stand to your feet. Amen. If you're part of this congregation, you want that, I want you to stand to your feet. You may, hopefully you're already on fire. You're just saying, I want to be part of that solution and more of that, oh God. So Father, you see, and you help us to understand, oh God, do what you desire in the hearts of these people. You see them. And God, you use us individually and corporately as you desire. Help us to go up higher as a congregation. May your anointing that was designed to destroy every yoke, hallelujah, which is inspired, not just individual change, but congregational change, that we go from me to we. And yes, it begins with us as individuals wanting this. But Lord, we see the bigger picture and how it all comes together, and why we must work and operate together by the Spirit. I call the people anointed, this congregation going up high, and the things that you want to do by it being done for the glory of God. I call the people blessed, and this understanding of what we share today, taking us, inspiring us in Jesus' name. Now thank God for it, and you may be seated. Hallelujah. Now, Father, as heads are bowed, eyes are closed.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it helped you. You can visit our website at gocfc.com to listen to other life-giving messages, read the pastor's blog, or to find out how you can be a part of an upcoming service. We hope to hear from you or see you soon. God bless and have a wonderful day.